COVID-19 caring for a vulnerable population. Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Wyatt Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. A conversation with Annie Dyer in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. Pulling together a family to talk about an aging parent can be difficult at best. Here are six things to consider. Number one, your aging parent and his or her best interests. Number two, who should attend the meeting? Number three, a location with few distractions. Number four, an agenda to help stay on track. Number five, an objective facilitator. And number six, proper and timely follow-up. Now back to our topic, COVID-19 caring for a vulnerable population. Joining me to talk more about it is Annie Dyer. Annie is the Executive Director for Richmont Terrace Assisted Living and Memory Care. Thank you for being here and welcome.
My honor. Thank you.
You bet. All right. How would you describe the aging population?
One word, indescribable. But I think about that. I mean, So some of the definitions say 65 and older. Well, I'm 60 and my husband's 73, so I guess we're there. But it really is, it's very diverse. I mean, when I think about all of the boomers is what we are, right? So we're the aging population. But I mean, my husband and I moved to a retirement community in 2014. We were both working the full time that we were there, and we were there for 5 years before we returned. But retirement, aging population were boating and golfing and playing ball and swimming and kayaking. And so I think it's different than before, but it is a combination of those of us who are able to take good care of ourselves and remain healthy and active, and those who have not been able successfully to either achieve that or maintain that through no fault of their own necessarily. So it's pretty diverse, and often it encapsulates individuals who live with one another where one is healthy and one is not as much. So it's pretty diverse. I didn't answer your question, actually, did I?
I thought that was pretty good. I was following you. I was tracking.
Very good.
Known ways to enhance the lives of older adults. Talk about that.
Well, I think I just kind of mentioned that. I think the balance between enabling the aging population or older adults to make their own choices and to have a variety of choices to make. I think there comes a time where we think that, or families think we have to start doing things for them, helping them make the decisions, making sure they're making all the right decisions. But the downfall comes when we stop asking their opinion about their lives and we stop enabling them to make choices for themselves. So I think it's a combination of a variety of options for them and their ability to maintain their independence and choices in making choices for themselves. That was redundant a little bit, for as long as they can.
Okay. Enter COVID-19. And what have we done to pretty much everything that you've just said?
It's like nothing before, especially in a population that resides in a community. And that, you know, is that skilled nursing? Is that independent living? Is that assisted living? Is that memory care where we are? So that changed with COVID-19. And I will say that we're still, to the best of our ability, finding ways for them to make choices for themselves. They're restrictive. They're different. It allows us to be creative and to find ways to keep them happy and kind of stay in their space but get out of their space at the same time to keep them safe.
Okay. And this might be a good time to ask you to tell us about Richmont Senior Living.
It's just a unique company, if you will, that really believes in valuing people. I mean, the MJ DNA is what we call it. MJ Senior Housing oversees us all. But it's about providing a different type of environment where we're building relationships. And we talk about that a lot. So the way that we build relationships is we get to know one another. We start to have feelings for one another. We start to learn about their likes and dislikes. And most importantly, in order to do that, I think we have to gain their trust, and that takes time. And then we need to commit to maintaining that trust. I'm really thrilled to be with a company that is empowering seniors in a different way than I've ever done before in the last 12, 15 years.
How did you get involved in this industry?
I was a nurse's aide in high school in the 70s, but I was really, I've done a lot of different things, but I had not been in assisted living or the senior healthcare industry, and I had an opportunity to kind of fell into it, but I believe that was pushed or mandated or brought about by God. That's just my belief about that. And I started actually as a marketing director and an admissions coordinator for a skilled nursing company in Sanpon, Idaho, and then grew within the company and was promoted as a general manager for their assisted living community.
Wow, okay. So news of COVID-19 is coming down the pike. You're at Richmont Senior Living.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible for all the residents, the staff, mm-hmm. in your building. What was going through your mind as this news was starting to come down?
I think, because I became aware in January, I think what started to enter my mind was that it will come here to the United States. And more than likely, it will come to Nebraska and Omaha and Bellevue. And we ought to be paying attention and be prepared for when it gets here so that we can be proactive rather than reactive.
So what did you, because Annie, I'm hearing you, and I think that's fantastic, especially on behalf of the residents that you serve, that you were really thinking that way. What were you doing? Because I think it's human nature for us to say, it's not going to affect us. It's not going to strike here, right? So what were you doing to prepare for the possibility that what has transpired?
I think the answer to that is just educating and collecting data. There's a balance, I believe, in every situation to educate ourselves, find out about things for ourselves, and then remain calm until that becomes a reality or not for us. And so really, MJ Senior Housing, our parent company, started in February, before the state of Nebraska, before DHHS and our county, Sarpy County Health Department. And we formed task force teams in each of our seven communities under MJ Senior Housing. And we began meeting every Friday. And we started getting our PPE, if you will, and we started to make our connections with our local health departments so that if and when we needed to hit it running, so to speak, we would be ready and we would have those lists and we would have those contacts and we would have constant communication. We have a thread on our phones, mm-hmm. all of us who are on our task force in our community. And so even the parent company at any time of day of week, they can get a hold of us, all of us on those task force. So I think that developing the team and the lines of communication was huge for us.
Yeah, and that's the word, communication. So within the team, you were obviously talking. How did you handle that with the families and the residents themselves?
Well, when you asked me how did we handle contacting them first when we were going to make some significant changes in our community, is that what you mean? What actually... It was forced on us, sort of, but we do what we always do with MJ and with Richmont Terrace. We instantly come together. We kind of call in the tank, if you will. And so it was on a Saturday, March 7th, I believe, and we had become and had been made aware that one of our team members had attended the large sporting event in Fremont on the 28th or 29th. That seems like a lifetime mm-hmm. ago. But in amongst 1,200 or 1,500 other attendees, seemingly our team member could have been exposed. And so we made that decision that day And that team member had already been contacted by DHHS and was given a care coordinator and was self-quarantining with parents. But I found out about 5:45 in the evening, and I called people on my team that I knew were going to respond as quickly as I would. And we're all on our phones, and we're heading into the community, Richmont Terrace, on a Saturday evening at 6:30. We get on a massive group call with the company, and then right away we start going down the halls of Richmont Terrace. That could be anywhere from 67 to, in assisted living, and then, of course, we have 24 in memory care. But we started notified apartment to apartment in person to those individuals in assisted living. Here's what happens. We're going to lock the doors. You got to stay in your apartment. We're going to keep you safe. We'll get back with you. Now we're calling all of your immediate emergency contacts. And we printed those lists, because that's another thing. You know, if you think about communication, you've got to have those things ready, especially in a pandemic. I mean, I'm 60. I never said that word before. I know what it is. And so we were on the phone personally calling the family members until 10:30, 10:45 that night. And at the same time, we sent an email, right? So we're doing it in person. We're doing it on the phone. We're doing it via email, snail mail the next couple of days. But we made that decision quickly. We didn't wait for anybody in the state to tell us that was the wise thing to do. We knew that we were just going to do that. And we were the first in the state, actually, to do that.
Wow. And months later, how are you doing?
Well, I'm pleased to say that today, at this very moment, that all of our residents and our staff members are okay. And none of our residents have tested positive. You know, the challenge in that, so our residents have been in the community since March 7th. Unless there's been anything essential, some sort of a doctor's appointment, most were postponed or canceled altogether. If there was an occasional trip to the hospital, you know, that was a little analyzed whether or not even that was necessary. Are they safer with us? Do they really have to go to the hospital where who knows what's there, right? So now we know that, or we believe that, for all the residents that have been in the community nonstop, sort of, and their families haven't been coming to visit unless it's through the glass or the iPad, right? That if it's to enter our community, it's going to be one of us as team members, right? So we have we've had a strict protocol and plea out to our team members. Most of us, really, we go to work, we go home. Mm-hmm. We mask 8 hours a day. We do all of the protocol that we're supposed to do. And until Governor Ricketts and DHHS recently, just last week, said we're sort of easing into phase two, that meant not being with your family, perhaps, at Easter or Memorial Day. And we're just being as careful as we can be. And we're to the point now where we're keeping people safe from COVID. Now we're watching individuals that haven't come to the dining room. They're not exercising as much, even though we're doing extra things. They're getting sad because they haven't seen their loved ones. And now we're working on that byproduct or collateral effect of COVID, so that we, you know, if we save them from COVID-19, but we lose them because they're depressed or they fall in, they break a hip. So it's a lot of different things in the balance, and we look at it continually every day.
Annie, what would you say to the communities out there? I mean, it is a pandemic, who aren't faring quite so well in terms of not being able to sit here with me today and say, we don't have any confirmed cases. You know, maybe there was one person who was confirmed, and then, of course, it spread. What would you say to those communities who are kind of struggling to stay above water right now? How would you encourage them?
I guess I would start to say, you know, we stand with you. I mean, it could have been us too. It could still be us, right? It could be us, and it could spread that quickly. And we've heard some stories about, you know, has it been poor care? Has it been people not following the rules? Are there bad leadership? Yeah, we're not going to go there on behalf of those communities. We're going to pray for those communities and the residents and their family members and their team members. And I think the thing that we need to remember is they have team members and staff members that are sort of metaphorically running into that fire every single day, right? As hard as it has been on us, and I'm still sitting here saying we've not been affected, imagine having that in your community, and then you've got to, you know, don and doff your full PPE, and then you've got to be over-vigilant even beyond. I can't imagine. So the short answer is we stand with those communities, we pray for those communities, and we want them to be okay.
Thank you. Okay. Probably one of the most pressing questions right now, especially from family members, when are we going to be able to come back in again? Do you have any thoughts on that? As being the first community to close down, play it safe, you know, make sure that you're doing all the right things. Now that we're where we are with this pandemic, what would you say to those folks?
I don't know. I'm telling you, I say it every day. I said it in my car, in my driveway at 6:30 last night, when I got a phone call from a family member worried about mom, right? I don't know, but I am telling them we're going one day at a time. We're gonna keep you as connected with your loved one as possible. We want to open just as much as you. We're thrilled by the drive-bys. You know, we had a drive-by parade. Oh my gosh, and I'm never quiet, and so on some of the video you can just hear me, right? We're gonna keep you as connected, and as soon as we know, we will notify you immediately, but we're taking our direction from the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. I don't know, but today we're okay and we're going to communicate just the best we can.
Okay, I want to ask you, because there, to your point, there is so much good going on behind closed doors that people aren't aware of, and you're a great storyteller. Is there something that is coming to mind right now? You mentioned the parade, which made me smile, because I just think those are beautiful things to do. Is there a story that you would like to share that would kind of give our listeners that encouragement to know that it's going to be okay?
Well, you know, I think what's so heartwarming for me is to know that, I mean, I set my alarm at 5:15. I'm in the building. I help serve breakfast every morning at 7:30. I'm there by 7. So for us, you know, we're all focused on, you know, this task, this call light, you know, this appointment for a resident, whatever. And there's things you don't think about, but you have to be open to that blessing and miracle. And I may or may not have shared this with you, but we had a resident, you know, confined or in their apartments during this time, and her beloved cat passed away. And Goldie had been a member of that family, and especially for this resident, for years. And as this resident was isolated in her apartment, gave her much comfort and company, right? Even though we're in there all the time, we're not the cat, right? And so this cat passes away in the morning, and the resident is very anxious and says, I can't even stay here now. There's no way I'll make it without my cat. And Nicole Gutterson, who is our life enrichment coordinator, through her contacts, there again, see, that's that contact and communication. By 11:30 in that morning, 11:30 in the morning, Nicole had been able to adopt Ernie, who looks almost exactly like Goldie. And by 2:30 in that afternoon, Ernie came to live at Richmond Terrace. And it was a perfect fit. So, you know, there's all of these unsung hero stories I watch every single day, and I could not be more proud to be a part of the team. But there's just so many things that are meaningful during this time. I will tell you this, none of us take anything for granted anytime anymore. 5 minutes at a time, and we want to be aware of each and every blessing.
Thank you for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
I think that will go a long way with our listeners. For more information about today's program, I encourage you to go to artofaginginc.com and check out blogs. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Annie for joining us, my husband Mike for making us sound so good, and of course to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky, inviting you to join us again as we will be posting a new segment every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment. hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.